Hello, welcome to the Legendary Frogcast. I am your host, Joseph Blanchette, and with me is Dustin Watts.
Ahoy, hoy.
And Randy Keepers.
That's me! I'm here!
Well, what could this mean if we're all together like this? Could it be the most epic crossover in podcasting history, even though we're all on the same show?
Are we talking about Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe?
That was pretty epic.
It was all right.
I mean, was it at the time the most... I guess Marvel versus Capcom still would have been the most epic.
Yeah, I'll
crossover.
What about that RPG that's like Namco, Capcom, like
Project Cross Zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good too. It just doesn't, like, it does things like, remember this, remember this, remember this, and then, yeah. And
of course, the real answer here is Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Most epic crossover.
No, the most epic crossover ever is probably Mugen. Where you could...
Well, Mugen's not official, so, you know, we can't, that's cheating. That's like saying fan art is the most...
Yeah. The fan fiction I wrote in 2002 is the most epic crossover. I don't know what it's about, though. Mm-hmm. No, we're talking about Avengers Endgame, people.
Yes!
I'll give you that. The most official... The most ambitious official crossover.
Is it a crossover, though, since they all take place in the same series?
Yeah, it's not.
Since they've, like... interpollinated and crossed over for over 10 years, like, is it even considered a crossover?
Yeah, you got a point.
I mean, like, it's been established that it's meant to be a all-together thing for as many years as it is.
There's still different franchises.
I would say it's the most ambitious shared universe ever put on film.
Well, that's probably true, yeah.
I mean, can't even argue that. No one else has come close.
And I don't think anyone else is probably ever going to come close.
I don't think even Marvel's going to come close again.
Yeah, they're probably not.
I don't know how they even... Like, I don't think they're going to have this many characters going on at the same time, like, ever again.
No, I think...
Unless, like, they really branch out with, like, X-Men in the future, you know?
It would be too heckin' much work.
Mm-hmm. So we are talking about Avengers Endgame. We are talking spoilers, so don't hesitate to blurt out the ending of the movie at any point. But yeah, this was Avengers Endgame, the quote unquote conclusion of a 22 movie series that has been going on since 2008.
Yep. Gosh, 2008, you guys. That's bonkers.
Yeah, think about 2008. Like, Dark Knight, The Dark Knight was just a few months before the first Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And just, like, 2 years prior, we had, like, Spider-Man 3, which a lot of people considered, like, kind of ruining superhero movies.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then just a few years later, we get Iron Man, which was, you know, a good movie in its own right. It was very successful, but I don't think anyone could realize what it could lead to. Even at that point, the idea that we could get an Avengers movie in 5 years was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and back in the day, back in when this was all coming together, you know, there was a huge chunk of me that wasn't sure that this was going to work out. I'll be totally, totally level with you. I didn't think we'd be able to get something like this because it's just too much, you know. And then they were able to pull it together with Avengers, and my soul left my body when I watched Avengers. I was so happy. And then
Do you think the first Avengers still kind of holds up?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like obviously it's still a good movie, but looking back, it's a lot of. It's a lot of setup, kind of. kind of forced confrontations. Some people might say it's not that well shot. Like, it's like a, some people have criticized Joss Whedon of shooting that movie kind of like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back, it definitely looks a little more almost cheap compared to like the movies that would come even immediately after this.
Yeah.
But I guess you can't deny just the ambition of that first movie.
Yeah. There was quite a bit.
I mean, it had some of the most, like, some really iconic shots.
That round shot of all the heroes.
Yeah.
Preparing for battle and all that. Yeah. I mean, like, I listened to our Avengers podcast before watching Endgame. And we were just like, oh, I don't know how they beat this. I just don't know if they can ever do this again. This movie is just so amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that they tease Thanos at the end of that movie. And like that was kind of the new goalpost, and he goes, all right, Thanos is gonna be the bad guy we're working towards now. And
yeah.
People thought maybe Avengers 2 would be about Thanos, but it turned out still had a little while more to go with that. And Thanos never really became a character until Infinity War, where it makes all his other appearances just seem like, yeah, they obviously don't know what they're doing with the character yet.
Yeah. And it's like always people making fun of the fact that he's like, oh, yeah, I sent Loki down with an Infinity Stone, and then we didn't. And then we didn't get that back. And we didn't get the one that I sent him there for back. And
I just sit in this chair and send people to do my dirty work.
I just hang out in this chair and people don't take me seriously.
He was off doing Thanos things.
Yeah, I guess he was out conquering planets in the background.
Yeah, he was out doing some rad nonsense there.
A few weeks ago, I kind of had a thought, thinking, like, we know from Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain Marvel that the universe has these, like, warp points that they can use, you know, to basically cross the galaxy in a few hours and all that.
Yes.
Why did Thanos need the Tesseract to open a wormhole for his army if we proved in a more than one movie that there's a one of those portals, like, right next to Earth?
It could be the sheer number of them. Maybe. Or it could be that where he was jumping his fleet from was like a whole bunch of jump points away from that jump point. Because they mentioned that's a thing.
I mean, you're not wrong. I thought about that stuff too, but it's just like
more of a test run than anything else. Mm. You know?
Anyway, we're talking about Endgame. Anticipation for this movie was super high. They hardly showed anything about the movie in teaser trailers. A lot of people had zero information going into it.
Yeah. Like, for me, so when my roommate finally saw it, she was like, oh yeah, a lot of this stuff was already speculated. So I wasn't terribly surprised by a whole lot of things. And I'm like, you just watch YouTube people who are just actual wizards? Is that what this is? Because I didn't see any of this shit happening.
Yeah, I avoided any and all speculation for this movie.
Yeah.
If you paid kind of close attention to the Ant-Man and the Wasp post-credit scene, they randomly mentioned time tunnels. So a lot of people like thought that was, oh yeah, they're going to use the quantum realm to time travel. Why else would they put that? Like, why else would they say that? And there were some paparazzi photos of, like, Battle of New York stuff. Like, showing, like, old Captain America and, like, Ant-Man together. So people kind of speculating that time travel had something to do with it. But that was about it. Like, the actress who played young Cassie Lang, or older Cassie Lang, got, like, accidentally put up on IMDb for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that was about it. So people thought at the very least there would be a time jump or time travel to the future. But, I mean, even that's not knowing much about this movie.
Yeah.
The fact that the first... Oh, go ahead.
I mean, apparently I missed all of this speculation. I apparently did my job too well. Mm-hmm. I went into this blind as could be.
And the fact that within the first 15 minutes, they confront Thanos and kill him. I was like, oh, geez, what's the rest of this movie going to be then? How are they going to fill 3 hours of whatever's going to be next?
Well,
and to be honest, like when they started doing like the time travel stuff, I was like, okay, this is fun and all, but again, like where's the runtime of this movie going to be? Like, what's the climax going to be? But then as soon as like Thanos and Nebula from the past started realizing what the Avengers were up to, I was like, oh, okay, now it's starting to click.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, okay, this is some adorable fan service, but when are we going to get some conflict, you know?
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, this has been a fine appetizer. Where's my steak?
Yeah, and then, the stuff happens at the end, and I'm just like, oh, oh!
There it is.
Yeah, I, my soul left my body when those portals started opening up, and
every hair on my arm just went straight shock up.
Yeah, for real. And I just was like, I was expecting some hype, and I knew hype would be coming, and you know, it's just the best thing. And then because I knew everyone was coming back, you know, I was like, this comic book movie, it's just going to let itself be a dumb comic book movie, and then it's going to be a comic book movie. And then it just being a dumb comic book movie was what surprised me the most, that they just let it be ridiculous, that they were like, and you know what else they're going to do? Captain America's going to pick up Mjolnir, and that's going to be fucking crazy, right? And I just,
pick up Mjolnir. He wielded it better than Thor did.
Yeah, I died. It was too much for me. I was just
this. And the look on Thor's face was like, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he's been looking forward to this for 10 years.
A while, yeah.
He knew in Age of Ultron that Steve could pick it up. Because in that movie, when Mjolnir shifted, when Steve grabbed it, the look of just pure, unadulterated shock on Thor's face was like, oh crap, he's gonna, aw.
There's some speculation, and it might even be something Joss Whedon said, that Steve, like, on purpose didn't lift the hammer, even though he knew he probably could. Because he didn't want to, like, hurt Thor's feelings.
Yeah. And then, like, a lot of the story beats that went on, it was just like, it was everything it needed to be, you know? I don't feel like there was much else that it, like, was missing. It was what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, like, this is really meant to be, like, an ending to Steve and Tony's story. So they spent a lot of time rounding up, like closing up their characters. Like when you find out that Tony has a kid with Pepper, and like they've been living peacefully on a farm by the lake. Like if you kind of look at the overall characters of Steve and Tony, it's like that's the life that Steve has always wanted. You know, he wanted to start a family. And all that, and their roles kind of reverse, where Steve is the guy that's just trying to make everything right, and Tony's the one that settled down, like he's, you know, like Steve has always wanted.
Yeah, and then Steve gets to settle down.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later. But, Yeah, just the payoff, to especially Steve and Tony in these stories, in this movie. I think they nailed it in that respect.
Yeah.
Steve gets to live his life with a woman he lost, like never had a chance to be with.
Yep.
No, this brings up some very uncomfortable questions. All right, one very specific uncomfortable question.
Not really, since I made a list of complaints / kind of plot holes, and it's like, doesn't Cap living his life with Peggy kind of break the rules of time travel in this movie? And because you can't change the past. And Captain America obviously wasn't alive for the past 50 years or whatever. And the simple answer is he created an alternate timeline and he came back to this one at the end of it. Even the Russo brothers basically said that. So.
Do you think that's going to cause much damage, or you think the universe is going to go, eh, I think he's earned it?
I think they made a bunch of alternate timelines this movie without even realizing it.
Oh my
God.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah, because Loki's still out there floating around.
Now, Randy, you said that actually got reversed, but do you still think that?
I feel like just the way that it... Because when Steve is returning the things back to where they belong, they're putting them back in a place that it wouldn't have been, like, they wouldn't have moved from where they were supposed to be. And so the kerfuffle with Tony and the Hulk and Ant-Man wouldn't have happened if they just put everything back to where it was supposed to be.
Well, sure it would have. Because they removed the Tesseract back in the 1970s. And that's presumably where Steve put it back. That means that the 2012, with the Battle of New York,
well, he still had to
create an alternate timeline, because that part of it is never fixed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's... and that's probably a lead-in for the Loki show. So...
I would not be surprised at all if that's the plot of the Loki show, is that it's him trying to escape his fate.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have made a point of showing Loki leaving and not follow it up, I think.
Because, my memory may be off, but isn't that something Loki has done in the past?
Does that have a TV show?
No, and like the comics.
Where nonsense happens and he takes advantage? That's like his entire character.
Exactly. Yeah, they said the premise of this show is almost like an alternate history thing where Loki is like influencing world events.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see about that, I guess. Of course, the real hero of this movie is the rat that opens up the quantum portal. So Ant-Man can be free.
There's a thought going around the internet that at least a good half of the timelines that Doctor Strange looked through were probably that damn rat not hitting the control panel the right way.
He was looking through, it's like, did the rat do it? Nope. The rat didn't do it. Nope. The rat didn't do it. Nope. You have some like I said, I kind of made a list of kind of questions here. We talk about the Cap ending paradox, which, like I said, according to the rules of the movie, shouldn't exist. But the Russos have said there's kind of more to the story that you just have to infer. Like, he created an alternate timeline, and he went back to it. So, fair enough. Loki's... Okay, so what do you guys think about Black Widow in this story? I think it's kind of the best portrayal of Natasha in all these movies. It's her most human. And initially, after viewing the movie, I was kind of angry at the fact that you know she died in such a, it's not a meaningless way, but in such a, well, that's it, way for her character.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel that she's like the only original Avenger not around for the end of the movie? And probably just kind of coincidentally, she's also the only female original Avenger.
I know. It does almost feel like she was stuffed in the fridge a little bit.
The way that scene's
written, it could have been either one of them.
Yeah.
They went over the cliff, so obviously it was up to the writers to decide. So they decided that Clint being with his family, was his story arc, and Natasha sacrificing herself to bring back half the people in the universe was her story arc.
Yeah, exactly.
Which isn't a bad one, it's just so like
anticlimactic.
Yeah, like I think there was always more to her character, and I get that, you know, she has her solo movie coming up, but I'm sure that the actress like didn't want to be in these movies anymore, like her contract's up,
or at least not to be a side character anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
so like her next movie is gonna be a prequel, which is great and all, but it just seems like her character just went off with almost a whimper. Even though the consequences were awesome, were great. Like, great as in, like, scope. Because, like, she went out the same way that Gamora did. But even when that happened, it was shocking and sudden. And it said a lot about Thanos. Like that wasn't a character moment for Gamora. That was a character moment for Thanos.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sure some people had the same complaint about it being a female dying for the sake of a man's story. But it added, it kind of made like the Thanos character like what he was willing to sacrifice and his ideals. But when Nat did it, it was just...
It was like a coin flip.
It was a coin flip, yeah. It's like, well, someone had to die. That's the rules.
Well, and somebody's got to pay for it.
and I mean, they were both trying to roadrunner off that cliff like it was going out of style. So, I mean... Yeah, that whole sequence just did not...
She's just not around for the rest of it. Just felt like she was sorely missing.
Well, yeah, the other characters made that abundantly clear, though.
Yeah.
You know, with everyone else's reactions and everything like that. So it wasn't that it was a pointless thing, you know. It was still impactful, and it was still important to the plot, and it was still, you know, it wasn't just like a hand wave of, well, she's gone. You know, it was still treated like the characters had to grieve her, you know. They got the opportunity to grieve her and all that. So, you know, it's all of the above in that it feels like it was like I guess Scarlett Johansson's just tired of her contract. Well, see you around, guys, you know.
Make it worth it, you know.
Yeah, make it matter, make people care, but
I kind of came around to it though because like she's always been the character that would basically, you know, give her life for the mission. But in her mind, it's never been enough to make up for her past. Like, no matter how hard she tries to do good, and even when she does do good, it's just not enough. And then, midway through these movies, she finds out the people she's been working for were actually Hydra.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, if you know her backstory, it was like, no, it was like, her thought process was, damn it, I got out of a organization like this.
And so, like, in her mind, it's like, well, I guess it's like, in her mind, all the bad she did, like, of course she would give her life. Of course she would and allow her best friend to continue living with her family. So, like I said, kind of half and half. I wish her death had a little, like, I wish she had more character overall in these movies.
Yeah, that was kind of a problem in general.
Yeah, because yeah. It was only really in Winter Soldier where she kind of felt like a full-fledged character, and then the rest, she was kind of always off to the side. So, she's getting her own movie. That's good. Similarly, what did you guys think of the scene in the final battle where all the female characters came and started rushing toward the camera?
Yeah, it was a little forced.
I thought it was fine. You know, we get all different kinds of lineups all the time. We get all different kinds of groups of characters getting grouped up all the time. It was just another one of those, really. Like, I get, you could say it's forced, but honestly, you could say any group up is forced. You know, when like Thor and Hulk were palling around during the first Avengers movie, like, ah, yes, the muscle bound ones. And then when Captain America and Natasha were kicking ass together, it's like, ah, yes, the hand to hand fighters are, you know, expertly doing their thing. And so it was just another pair off to me. I know that there are a lot of people who are going to try to look into it and be like, oh, ooh, look, dude, look at the women's. And it's like, whatever, dude, it's just a movie. And
it's a feminist agenda, man.
Yeah. It's just a movie.
Speaking of writing, like, obviously Natasha and Clint were paired up in their Infinity Stone thing because, you know, they're the one that kind of cared the most about each other.
Yeah.
And the rules of that stone requires them to like each other.
And yeah. When they were flying off and laughing, a little part of me was going, oh.
Yeah. I kind of forgot that those were the rules of the Infinity Stone, so I didn't really think much of it. But imagine if, like, Natasha and Rocket went out together.
Yeah, and Rocket's like...
And, like, we have to sacrifice someone we love. And they're like, oh, well,
Yeah, exactly.
This,
like,
this is
like,
awkward.
Ah. Well. I mean, I love this gun.
And anyway. Again, we continue Rocket Raccoon's continuing obsession with artificial body parts. I swear by the time these Marvel movies are stopped being made, he's going to make an actual person out of all the parts he's got.
Moving back to that all female shot. I asked some of my female friends about, like, what they thought of the shot. They kind of range from, like, what do you thought, Dustin? It's like, yeah, it might have been a little pandering, but whatever. I think it's not just the convenience of it, because obviously the shot is contrived. Like, there's no way all those characters just happen to be next to each other and all decide to start running towards the camera at the same time. It's more that people who have problems with it felt that they didn't earn it. Because female characters in these Marvel movies have been off to the side for almost the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people, when they have problems with that scene, it's like the Wasp just had a co-starring role, you know, just like last year, and it's hardly in this movie at all. But, you know, she's part of the big shot. And, like, Mantis, who was just a supporting character that a lot of people thought was kind of taken advantage of in Guardians 2.
Yeah.
But one person, like, in a podcast I listened to, saying, like, yeah, the shots felt pandering, but just seeing all those lady characters on the screen at the same time was like, yep, this is what we're committed to now. It's like we're making right on all of this.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Fat Thor?
I love it.
Because I can comfortably say I've got the body of a god.
So I think that's okay, and the fact that he never turns like muscular again in the movie is a good thing. What do you think of, like...
Also, apparently he's a fan of craft brew from Atlanta, nonetheless.
Is that from Atlanta? Do you think New Asgard is in Atlanta?
It's in Norway.
Yeah, I know.
But
what do you think of them about making jokes at his expense, though? I guess kind of another complaint I've been hearing about.
A big thing that I noticed is, like, they take a lot of his, a lot of what he's, you know, he kind of torments over, a lot of him being sad, a lot of him being upset. Like, I feel like a lot of things that ended up happening, I feel like they trivialized, a lot of his suffering, you know, they trivialized a lot of his grief. They just kind of made fun of him for being upset. And, like, I get what everyone's talking about, that, like, I guess now we're making fun of the guy who has literally lost everything in his life. And everything that he's ever cared about is gone. You know, and so, and all he feels is just this empty, intense void. Failure.
Well, exactly. Like, that's obviously that's what the movie is going for, but then do you think it's appropriate for Rhodey to say his blood is made of cheese whiz? Like, that's kind of what I think people are complaining about.
Well,
that's fine, you know.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if I had lost as much as Thor had, I think I would actually look worse. So, there's that.
Yeah.
Also, even when Thor was getting drunk, he still drank quality beer. So, he wasn't completely... What's the word? Gone? He still had some standards.
I did like by the end of this movie where he's like, you know what? I don't want to be king. I just want to ride around with the Guardians of the Galaxy in space.
The Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Have some fun. There's kind of rumblings that he's not done with the MCU. But, like, obviously he might be in Guardians 3, either as a main character or a cameo or whatever. But they're talking about there might be a Thor 4. Because he kind of, like, he likes playing this character now. He likes playing Thor.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
For like, 4 movies before this, he just kind of hated it.
I think Thor Ragnarok brought him back around.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Well, yeah, because it was good.
Remember he told the Russos, the Russos, it's like, please, please don't go backwards on Thor personality-wise. And they're like, don't worry, we're not.
And they didn't.
I liked the scene with the Ancient One in New York.
Yeah.
I like how she knew exactly what was going on, what was going down, and was like, no. Right up until the point she heard Strange give away the stone, she was like, you could actually see her, like, physically, like, step back for a second, like, and start thinking, like, oh god, that's not right.
It was one of those cameos where it's like, oh, that was nice that they got her back.
Yeah, exactly.
Brought up a question, though, in my head. If she always knew that Doctor Strange was going to be, like, the best of us and going to save the universe, why was she so hesitant in the Doctor Strange movie about training him?
Maybe because of this scene.
But that scene already happened.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It might have been just, like, testing his resolve and all that. You know, it's... You see things about someone, you're like, oh, well... You know, I'm not sure if this is,
Because you remember that Mordo, had to convince her to let Strange in. Like, I know, obviously, like, Doctor Strange was written years before this movie, so, you know, they can't possibly...
Yeah.
You know, think about it, but it was just something I kind of thought of. Do you think when they finally gathered up all the Infinity Stones, and the Hulk snapped his finger, do you think it would have been better to have the snap be a surprise, like the result of the snap be a surprise? Because since Clint's wife calls him, we know everyone's back then. We know they succeeded. So the fact that they all show up in the battle really isn't a surprise. It's just an inevitability at that point.
Yeah.
Do you think they should have left it ambiguous or a question mark about it, if it even worked? Just like, just take out that phone call.
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Nah.
I think it's fine. Fine as is.
I kind of liked how, like, Scott saw some birds tweeting off in the garden. He was like, I think it worked. These birds seem happy.
Yeah, these birds are, Well, yeah. First time I've seen birds since... Oh, it's the first time I've seen birds in 5 years, man.
Yeah, little did you know that Thanos, along with destroying half the people in the universe, just destroyed all birds.
No, 50% of them.
No, just all birds. He doesn't like them.
Just all the birds, all at once, all gone.
Yeah. I mean, he just thinks they're weird looking.
And also,
just, yeah.
Have we gone over how the fact that Thanos' whole plan just wouldn't have worked?
Oh, trust me, plenty of people have
talked like, about this. Like, it was the height of idiocy.
Well, the thing is, he's a villain. His idea is supposed to be flawed. His plan is supposed to be wrong, fundamentally. So.
Well, I have one more thing before we start going off on other topics. Apparently, Howard the Duck is in the final battle. People have seen him in the portals opening
really?
Around the universe. Yeah.
Y'all have heard that there's going to be isn't there supposed to be a Howard the Duck TV show on like Hulu or something?
Yep.
Well, that's just crazy.
Because they're working, here's the best part. They're working up to a Offenders crossover that has like, what was it? Like the Hellstrom siblings, Howard the Duck, and wait, who else was it?
Mm-hmm.
MODOK.
Oh yeah, they are tapping MODOK for the MCU.
I hate MODOK so much.
It's animated, right? Though, like these Hulu shows. I did hear that Ghost Rider is getting a show on Hulu.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider. So
yeah,
sounds about right.
So I mean,
speaking back to what you're saying about half the universe not working, like when they flash back to like Thanos on Gamora's planet, like they were obviously in a pre-industrial society, like there were just a bunch of like villages and towns and all that.
Yeah.
What was Thanos going to do on Earth in like Avengers? Was he going to put 5 billion people in New York on one side of this island and then 5 million people on the other side and then like blow up half of them? It's like,
I think your numbers are still off there, buddy.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are in New York, how many people live in Manhattan, but,
Okay, let me put this in perspective. At the human population, we are approaching 7.5 billion.
Yeah, but I'm talking about how many people were in New York. Like, what was Thanos going to do on a planet that has 7 billion people living on it. Like, you can't just put go like town by town, city by city, and just like put people on one side of the street or the other and then shoot them like they did in the flashback.
I feel like that's exactly what he planned on doing.
For a city as big as like Manhattan?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's called the Mad Titan, dude.
I guess when he saw like Nebula and Gamora in this movie, they were in a city with like skyscrapers and stuff. So he just doesn't conquer like planets that don't have the wheel yet. But yeah, like his plan, like there were half the people on this planet, what, like 50 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Not even. If we knocked off half the people, yeah, it would be about, we would be about the population level of the 1970s. So, yeah. So that's nothing. That's, we still had, we would still have the problems we would today. It would still, I don't know. As I said, the whole plan was just, oh man. The more you think about it, the more you realize, yeah, there's a reason they call him the Mad Titan.
Yeah, not a good plan.
So when he finds out that his plan, like, didn't work, essentially, that people were still angry at him, he said, well, I'll just make a universe where you don't know any better.
Yep.
Well, that was actually a bit more... That actually made more sense. It was infinitely worse, but it made more sense.
What did you guys think of like the time travel logic in this movie? Because we talked about it earlier.
Oh God, let's not. But, we're not going to.
I know it breaks down anytime you talk about time travel, but in this movie they use the idea that you can't change the future by altering the past. Time is linear. But there are alternate timelines. What do you guys think of that approach? Does it kind of fix, like, the why not kill Thanos as a baby?
that
I think Rhodey brought up.
That's the old Hitler time travel exemption thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go back and kill Hitler. It'll solve all our problems.
But did you guys like that? That's the approach they went to.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I can live. I mean, there are time travel logistics are mind melting at best.
As long as they keep by the rules that they set for themselves.
That's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah, like that's always fine with me. And I think if you just this movie might even break that, like we were talking about earlier. If you break it down enough. But on the surface, it seems to kind of be okay, I guess.
Well, I mean, time travel has always been kind of hinky for Marvel in general.
Well, it's because that's just how it is. It's nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Like, time travel is always a really, really weird thing to deal with if with any kind of story. It's... You know, it's there's a lot that can break down about it.
And that's why them have access to time travel kind of doesn't make future, like let's say they just kept time travel, since they can't change the past, like them getting the Infinity Stones were kind of almost like a special case. For this movie, it kind of wouldn't work in other time travel movies per se in the Marvel universe. Do you think that they like destroyed that platform after they were done with it, or
I hope so?
Time travel is off the table forever.
If they're smart, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what one of my friends said. It's like, so they just have time travel now; they can do whatever they want. And I said, no, they probably destroyed it.
And with Tony dead, the only person who could probably rebuild it is
Yeah, were you expecting Tony to die?
Yeah. I was expecting him and Cap to not see the end of this movie.
I was honestly expecting Thor to join them, but I'm kind of glad he didn't.
Wonder how much of a, almost not a rewrite, but I wonder how much like Chris Hemsworth is like, no, I can do another one of these. You don't have to kill me yet.
Yeah, it's like I got one more in me. I got at least one more in me. You gotta give me the sorry goodbye.
What about Professor Hulk? You like Professor Hulk?
I love Professor Hulk.
Oh, Professor Hulk is the best. Just like the big old cinnamon roll that is Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk is just... It gives me life.
They did a pretty good job kind of show how the different characters reacted to the snap. Like, Tony just happened to kind of get by because, like, the people he cared about most were still around. With the exception of, like, Peter, but that comes back to him. Like, Cap is just trying to make the best of it. Thor can't handle it at all. But, like, Bruce Banner just kind of took his failures, like, accepted them, and, like, merged himself with his failures and just became his own better person in that respect.
He became the best possible Hulk that he could be.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're Valkyrie, who doesn't really like the new Hulk. She prefers either of the other ones.
Oh, well. No one.
She's like one or the other.
Yeah. Valkyrie is now the Queen of Asgard.
There's a... There's an antidote going around that the Russo brothers talked to Mark Ruffalo about a hypothetical solo Hulk movie that they can't do because of Universal. And then they folded that Hulk movie that they couldn't make into three movies. Thor Ragnarok and the two Avengers films.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of ways, like, Hulk doesn't really have a story in this movie.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He just kind of is. And you can, like, you know, say that's his character arc, and that's all well and good.
And then the other thing that I liked about Hulk is just how nice he is. Like, when the... with the tacos. Ant-Man eating the tacos, and then the
ship came.
Yeah, ship came down, knocked his taco apart, and then Rhodey came down, broke his taco, and then he, then he comes out and he hands him tacos. It's like that is so nice.
It's kind of like it's not even. It's just Bruce Banner, but he's big and green. There really isn't any of the Hulk in there besides the fact that he's, like, big and green.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. The Hulk is Banner. Always has been, always will be. It just took both of them failing to realize it. There's no two sides of a coin between Hulk and Banner.
Yeah, but you would think that in this movie, the new Hulk would be, like, would get angry and kind of revert back to that angry Hulk. But no, he's just kind of Bruce Banner throughout the entire thing.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing to revert to. It's just there. It's Bruce. It's the Hulk. That's who he is.
Well, the Hulk was definitely a different entity.
Yeah.
But that's the whole issue. He wasn't.
It sure seemed like it.
That was a like, it was a self reinforcing psychosis, I believe the term is. He thought the Hulk was a separate entity, and so his mind being kind of thrown out of whack because of the whole gamma radiation thing made it so. It took a massive shot to both their mental systems to realize that no, that's not the case.
I think you're not wrong. I don't think the movies per se say all that. You might be going into like some of the comic book stories.
It's this hypothetical Hulk movie that happened off screen that we will never see because screw Universal.
They're just holding on to their last bit of money that they can get out of that.
Which is also why we'll probably never see a Namor anything in the MCU. Have Namor.
Did you hear the theory? Which may or may not be true because, like, obviously what you're saying, that the earthquake that Wakanda felt under the ocean that they detected, they're saying that may be a hint towards Black Panther 2, where they meet, like, the underwater Atlantis or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, like, from Namor, so.
Yeah.
It probably was nothing, but people have, like, kind of grabbed onto that theory.
Well, I mean, again, that would require Universal to release their stranglehold on the Hulk and Namor, and they're not going to do that because they're going to stick it to Disney as hard as they can, as long as they can.
Oh, come on. If Disney says, hey, we want to make a Namor movie, here's $1 billion.
Yeah, because they could literally do that right now.
Yeah, they...
They could,
but... Universal won't say no. I almost guarantee it.
They're like... They just, like, show up and they're like,
As soon as Disney wants to make that Namor movie or bring Namor to the MCU, they'll work out something. Like, there's almost no question about it.
It's just whether Disney wants to or not. And that's kind of up in the air.
Yeah, with Aquaman being a thing, they might be afraid that people would see too much of a similarity.
I mean, if, and this is a hypothetical, if they somehow worked it out with Universal before Aquaman came out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guaranteeing you, we would have seen a Namor movie just so that Disney could say, we got out the King of Atlantis first. So screw you. But no, DC got it. We also got the first female lead. So, yeah.
I mean, DC is just better than Marvel, obviously.
How dare you, first of all?
A certain mustache would disagree with you on that. Also, Grandma's Peach Tea.
Grandma's Peach Tea can find me in the streets. I don't care. I ain't scared.
All right, so the future of the MCU. Well, is there anything else you want to say about Endgame? Like, I think personally, Infinity War is probably a better movie.
Yes.
But, dang it, what this movie did was extremely satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have much to complain about it, so. So you guys think?
Yeah,
at this point, any complaints I have are minor nitpicks.
Yeah, for real. Same story. I agree with you, though, Joey. I do agree that Infinity War was a better-made movie, and that it was, like, on a lot of different... on a lot of different levels, it's just... It's a great film. But the thing that Endgame has going for it is just this insane amount of satisfying closure that we were able to get after what happened with Infinity War, you know?
It was almost like it was basically Infinity War was Act 1 and Act 2. And
that was always the plan. That was always the plan. But the thing is that, like, there are a lot of people, like, I remember when I watched What is it? I watched Infinity War last year, and I remember hearing people in the audience being, "Wow, that ending sucked!" It's like, well, yeah, it's not a happy ending. Like, there's obvious.
Just because an ending isn't happy doesn't mean it sucks.
Well, it's just that these people didn't know that would be.
Well, plus, something you don't realize with Infinity War right away, and some non like comic fans may not get, it is a Thanos' story.
Yeah,
he was the main character, and he won, just like every other comic book movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not the perspective we were expecting, or at least most people weren't expecting.
No, and it's true. It's completely true.
Well, of course, yeah. I could go into a whole rant about how Hollywood and people expect happy endings all the time, and how people expect sad endings to be changed to be happy. I Am Legend comes to mind.
Yeah, but I'm glad that Disney stuck to it.
Probably happens all the time, and we don't even know about it when it does, because it's all like takes place in like test screenings and all that.
Oh, I could get into the whole bullcrap that is test screenings and what's that word? The whole it's where test screenings and how test screenings and all that are kind of BS and they don't actually do what they're supposed to do. Like they give the opinions that they get from them are flawed.
Yeah.
I've heard some directors say they're useful and they actually change, like adding scenes back in. Like people may say, like, "Oh, they felt like this part of the movie didn't have enough punch," and they realize, "Oh, it's because we deleted the scene earlier in the movie," and so they can like pop it back in.
But yeah, let's.
Yeah, so even though this movie isn't gonna be like just in terms of like character and story, probably isn't even in the top five. It's probably like my favorite MCU movie, just for how well it wraps everything up and does well by most of its characters.
Yeah,
it is fan service done right.
It is.
Fan service in service of the story.
Yeah.
And I like how they took what most people would consider one of the worst MCU films, Thor the Dark World, and said, "Huh, it's a major part of the plot." Take that.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so. I don't like Thor the Dark World, but it did some things right.
I like Thor the Dark World is fine, but it's definitely not one of the better MCU movies.
It's actually kind of, I'd say it's, I wouldn't, I don't know, Iron Man 2.
They've never made a bad Marvel movie. There's never been a bad Marvel movie. There've only been ones that have been okay or serviceable at worst. Like, you know, Thor the Dark World is still a better movie. And a lot of what we get, you know, it's still better than a lot of things.
Pretty much. It's pretty much, even the low point of Marvel is better than a lot of what DC gave us.
Yeah, yeah. I would take 50 Thor the Dark Worlds over one Batman versus Superman. I guarantee it.
Oh my God, that movie is my textbook definition of a garbage fire.
Remember how excited we were about, like, even though, like, Dustin, your opinions on the Man of Steel were kind of mixed, but we kind of like, oh, Man of Steel's pretty cool. Like, I wonder if this is going to be, like, the start of a new DC extended universe, and then, like, the very next movie is just a garbage fire.
Yeah.
We're like, oh.
And then there's the garbled mess that is Justice League.
I mean, at least they're better now, but, I mean.
Yeah, like, I love Shazam. Shazam's fun.
Yeah, Shazam. Aquaman, Wonder Woman are all top tier movies, in my opinion.
But there's still that, there's still the triple stain that is Batman v Superman, Justice League, and Suicide Squad. Because let's, oh man, but then again, we're getting off topic.
So here are the confirmed future MCU movies. Obviously, we have Spider-Man Far From Home coming up in a couple months. That's kind of the official end of Phase 4, they're saying.
Phase 3,
yes. Right. okay, one thing about the snap is apparently all of Peter Parker's friends also got snapped because they're all the same age in the next movie. So
yeah,
that's an awful big coincidence.
We'll let
writers. Then we have a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Which with is James Gunn.
Yep, which is delayed, but still happening.
Yep.
Yeah, that brings up a whole other point that we didn't talk about. Gamora is back, but it's a version from before she met the Guardians.
It is not quite a clean slate, it is a completely different Gamora. It is one we have never seen.
Yeah, it's still one that was still on the verge of not being okay with Thanos, because like, yeah, that's the way she was like when that happened in the past. Technically, they never showed her like turning to dust or surviving at the very end of the movie. But it is assumed that I think that she is still around as a old Gamora. So I kind of wonder, like, because Gamora and Peter kind of had their story arc, and now they're going to have a whole other movie where that's reset. Like, I'm really curious what this next Guardians movie is going to be about, and if the Guardian trilogy will like kind of fits together, even with this big road bump in the middle of it.
So, yeah,
I'm really looking forward to what that movie is, especially if Thor is part of it. That should be fun.
I wonder if they are going to call it the Asgardians of the.
No, this would be Volume 3. They are making that Black Widow prequel movie.
Well, that's good.
Not much is known about it. Dude, what's in Stranger Things and Hellboy is going to be in it. Am I forget his name? Exactly.
I know who you're talking about.
And we assume it's a prequel. I mean,
Finn Wolf something?
No, I mean no, that's the name of the little kid. The guy who plays like the chief and who plays Hellboy. Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, it's probably going to be a prequel. I don't see how it cannot be. So, I think the Eternals has officially been announced, which I don't know much about other than the fact that I know Thanos is one.
Yeah.
And like the Eternals aren't like big purple people. He's kind of like a mutant or a.
Yeah, he's a deviant.
Yeah.
It's basically the their equivalent of a mutant.
So I have no idea what this movie is about. I guess since the Inhumans turned out to be a whole lot of nothing.
I would not be surprised. Oh, well, yeah. Oh man, the Inhumans. Oh man. I hate to repeat myself, but what a garbage fire that turned out to be.
I never watched it.
You are not missing a thing. Well, except for the... Well, no.
Officially announced our Doctor Strange 2 and Black Panther 2 are on the table, but we don't know much about them yet.
There's also season 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is coming out probably about the time this podcast is.
I think it's time for Clark Gregg to come back to the MCU. Like the movies. Honestly, I don't know something.
Yeah.
And one other movie that they've announced is a character I know nothing about, but its name is Shang-Chi.
Yeah! Yeah, Shang-Chi is basically, it's like Iron Fist, but not white.
Oh, so what Iron Fist should have meant.
And he also isn't up his own ass about, like, destiny and all that.
Oh, and plus, well, Marvel can't do anything with any of the Netflix characters until, what, 2021?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so Shang-Chi is obviously going to be it's not going to be universe changing, so it's just going to be a kung fu action movie in the MCU, which I'm looking forward to seeing.
Okay, here's my dream. I want Blade. Can we have Blade, please?
If we get a Blade, it'll probably be PG-13. But then again, Blade's comics aren't really all that graphic anyway. The movies that came out in the 90s took a lot of liberties with it. And so, like, you know, he being all, like, as blood-soaked and as violent as it is, the comic isn't really all that bad. So, like, what's going to happen is, like, if they do Blade, there's going to be a lot of people who grew up with the old movies, and they're going to be like, well, this is nothing like Blade. It's not nearly as violent as Blade is.
So I don't know much about Blade, and I kind of always knew he was a Marvel comic, but he is like part of the Marvel universe, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
So him showing up in the MCU isn't like makes sense because he isn't like some offshoot or anything like that. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And he's a vampire hunter.
Yep. He's half vampire himself.
Yep.
I kind of feel like if the Netflix shows continued to go on more, they would have gone to Blade eventually.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see it pop up on Disney Plus.
Well, I think they would probably make one of those rated M Marvel Netflix shows. So I think Hulu is the home for those. Like, they'll eventually end up on Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my last dream one. And I know it's probably never going to happen. Moon Knight.
I don't know much about Moon Knight, but he's like a Egyptian warrior, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But it's not going to happen.
Well, you never know. Moon Knight. And obviously we have all the Fox stuff coming up, but I think those are still a few years out before we start.
There's still some logistical things going on behind the scenes, but I would not be very surprised if we see a Fantastic Four movie come out.
Yeah, I think I don't know if they're doing like phases anymore, but I bet we start seeing X-Men and Fantastic Four within 5 years. I don't think they would wait that long.
I think it'll be about 5 years for like the X-Men and stuff like that. But I suspect we'll see something about Fantastic Four in the next 2 to 3.
Maybe. Or is that franchise just so tainted at this point where they have to wait even longer?
I think people will be willing to give it a shot if it's Marvel Studios doing it.
I guess it's like Spider-Man. Like, they had two pretty bad Spider-Man movies, but then people were on board as soon as they saw it was good. So,
yeah.
Oh, I could go into how I was like really excited about that second Spider-Man movie at first, and then the literally minutes at, like literally as the more I thought about it, the more I hated it.
Yeah, I remember walking out of that movie not really hating it, but the more I started to think about it.
Like, just the sheer amount of wasted potential they put in. Again.
At least we got Venom. Right?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, Venom. Okay, Venom is just the best worst movie. It is an absolute blast to watch.
Yeah, but it I is not a good that, movie. Now that they know what people like about Venom and what didn't work, I kind of think they can make an awesome movie with Venom too.
But let Tom Hardy still be in it, because by God, he was having fun. Mm-hmm. And it showed. It showed he was having an absolute blast in that movie.
Isn't like Sony like doing like they're like still trying to do their like connected movie universe with like they're doing like Mobius, the vampire Morbius? Dude, Morbius.
Oh, Morbius, the living vampire.
Yeah,
I think so.
Like, they may not necessarily be trying to like still do the connected universe, but they're still making their movies on like on properties they own.
So. Yeah.
Because they're just lending Spider-Man to the MCU. Like, Marvel doesn't own the rights, the movie rights still to those characters.
But they have creative control.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so let's wrap it up. We've been reviewing most of these movies too for the past 10 years. I think the first one we did was Iron Man 2. So, it's 11 years of the MCU, and it's still going strong.
It's showing no signs of stopping. Which is...
Yep. I hope it doesn't ever end.
Do you think, I don't know. I guess Iron Man's gone. Do you think he ever shows up as, like, an artificial intelligence or anything, or do you think he like just won't be in these movies anymore?
I'm not sure, because you know, honestly,
we could have the whole like Iron Lad type thing go on, but I doubt it.
Oh, did you know that the kid from Iron Man 3 was at the funeral?
Yeah.
So like that random kid that probably no one recognized was at Ty Simpkins.
Yep.
It was a kid from Iron Man 3.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he becomes Iron Lad. Right?
Yeah.
Could be.
You can help.
Alright, guys. Thanks for talking to me about Endgame.
Always.
You know it.
And,
it's my life.
Yeah, these movies have been... It's like it's always been the big event, you know, the next Marvel movie. And even though Endgame kind of seems like that was the end, like I said, there's still more movies coming.
And I mean, it's an ending. But when one door shuts, another one opens.
Right? Yeah, and hopefully they keep up the quality.
Yep.
Well, I mean, as long as the master of continuity that is Kevin Feige is at the head, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, that man is a living encyclopedia of Marvel.
Well, it's kind of his job to be, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, Brandy. Thanks, Justin. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, okay.